Shalom Aleichem, Nile viewers. This is Rav Heshi Reichman with a Dvar Torah on Chassidus from Shem Shmuel. Our shir is dedicated to the memory of Rochel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi Aleh Shalom. And our topic is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, the Chodesh of Iyar, which is the month which we have just begun. Now, every month has its own character and significance and symbolism. And according to the Zohar, one can analyze the character of individual months by comparing them or associating them with the children of Yaakov. We have 12 months in the year, and we have 12 children of Yaakov Avinu, and it's according to the Zohar, the original and most famous work of Kabbalah, this is not a coincidence. This is part of Hashem Yisbarach, God's plan, that there be 12 months in a year, and that there be 12 children of Yaakov, and that each one of these children is associated with a certain month. And according to the Zohar, since Nisan, the Torah says, is the beginning, Rishon Hu Lachem Ochot She'ashana, Nisan is the first of the 12 months. So the logical connection between the children of Yaakov and the 12 months would be to begin with the first of Yaakov's children. So Nisan, the first month of the year, is associated with Reuven, the first of Yaakov's 12 sons. And Iyar is associated with Shimon, the second son. And Sivan, the third month, associated with Levi, the third son of Yaakov. Now, Shem Shmuel wants to flesh this out and explain what is the significance of Nisan with Reuven, Iyar with Shimon, Sivan with Levi. And he says as follows. The word Reuven, the first son of Yaakov, is based upon the pasuk says, Ki ra' Hashem, God saw my suffering, Leah said. So in the word Reuven, Reu, see the ben, see the boy, is the concept of Re'i, of seeing. And in Shimon, the next son of Yaakov, the pasuk speaks about Ki shama Hashem, God heard my pleas, Leah says. And so in the word, in the name Shimon, we have the term, the po'al, shmoa, the shmoa, to listen. So we have seeing and listening, re'iya and shmiya. Now, of course, we all know that seeing and listening are two of our senses, two of our five senses. Now, what is really the difference in a certain philosophical way, or the significance philosophically between seeing or listening? And the Shem Shmuel says that when you see something and you compare it to hearing something, the difference is the level of awareness that you achieve. When someone sees, one has a much greater awareness of the event or the thing one is observing in comparison to just hearing the sounds. The Gemara has an expression, Eina doma shmiya l'riya. You cannot compare listening or knowing something through hearsay versus seeing it. So that's why, for example, in this case, the Gemara applies this rule to the din of edus, the din of witnesses, that witnesses must see the event. Shmiya, they heard about this event, it's puzzle, it's disqualified. It's second hand, it's hearsay evidence. Visual, seeing the event, is clear, is precise. So, re'iya, to see something, means to have first hand, concrete, visual observation. In a certain, and shmiya would be to observe something, to be aware of something, but from a distance, in a roundabout way. So in a certain way, we take this idea of Reuven and Shimon, seeing versus hearing, and we apply it to the months of Nisan and Sivan. Nisan and then Iyar. We can apply it in the following way. If Reuven is to see, and that's the month of Nisan, and that is the month in which the Jewish people see, so to speak, has the closest connection and the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God Almighty. We know that in the month of Nisan, the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed himself in Mitzrayim in the 10 plagues, and especially the final night of Seder night, in which Ani V'lo Malach, Hashem Yisbarach, the Almighty Himself, without any angels, went into the land of Egypt and smote the firstborn of Egyptians and saved the Jewish people. It was Gilu Shechina. It was a revelation of God's presence. And who were the observers of this Gilu Shechina? Am Yisrael, the Jewish people. It was what we say in Hasidic language, a Bechina of Re'iyah. It was in the category of visual, of visualization, of a very close awareness of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and his connection to us and our people. This is the Bechina of Chodesh Nisan. This is the category of Chodesh Nisan. It's the category of Re'iyas Hashem, of visualizing, in other words, in being very close awareness, a first-hand awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of God Almighty, and his connection to us. And this is represented by the connection to Reuven. Now, the second month of the year, which is the month of Iyar, which is this month we're talking about, this month is Shimon. This is symbolically represented by Shimon, by Shmiya, by hearing about something. I hear, but I don't see it. It's from a distance. I'm aware of something, but from a distance. There is no close proximity. There's no visualization. From the sound, I've got to imagine what this thing I've observed might look like, might be. Is it, I hear a big sound. Is it a clap of thunder? Is it a car, a truck, backfiring? Is it a firecracker? Many possibilities for a loud noise. So the shmiya, because of it, it's the listening, that stimulus creates an unclear vision, something imprecise, something not exactly knowable. That's shmiya, that's listening. And this would be also the second month of the year. In the second month of the year, in Chodesh Iyar, we find ourselves much more distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam, much more far away from where we were with him in the month of Nisan. In the month of Nisan, in the Chodesh HaGu'ula, the month of the redemption from Mitzrayim, we Jewish people and God were at the closest of our relationships. It was the Zman of Avas Hashem. It's the Zman of Shir HaShirim, of the great love song between the lover and the beloved, between the Almighty King and His beloved Queen, the Jewish people. Between Hashem and Israel, in this warmest and deepest embrace and visualization of one another. B'chol dor v'dor, chayev adam liros ulaharos as atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza mimitzrayim. Every year at the Seder, during Chodesh Nisan, every single Jew, man, woman, and child, visualizes that exodus, re-experiences, feels, knows, and sees that embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that inspiration, that closeness of being close to our Almighty God, King, Creator. This is the month of Nisan. It's the Chodesh Ahava. It's the month of love. Chodesh Iyar is a different kind of a month. It's a month in which we hear about the Ribbono Shel Olam, but we do not visualize him. It's a month of great distance. This is the heart and soul. The month of Iyar is the heart and soul of the Avelus, of the mourning period of Sfirat HaOmer, in which the Jewish people mourns the tragic loss of the 24,000 students of Rebbe Akiva, and also the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, which that terrible event represented. It's a time of being distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a time in which unfortunate tragedies occur. The deaths of tzaddikim, the loss of the Holy Temple, the galus, the estrangement and exile in which we find ourselves. And we mourn this. This is Chodesh Iyar. We hear Hashem. We know that He exists, but it's from a distance. From far away. Rachok, rachok. Very far away. God calls to us, but we do not see Him. We cannot really see Him. We have to, through that call of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to create our own visual imagery, but it's more of an imagination. It's not really seeing. And this is the month of Iyar. It's a month of distance from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now you might think that really the month of Iyar is a disappointing month. It's a time in which we find ourselves estranged, alienated, distanced from our great, beloved King and Master, the Master of the world. But the Shema Shmuel says that we should not in any way think that this month is really worse than Nisan. The month of Iyar is not worse than Nisan. Because he makes a very important point. And that is the following. The human being was really originally a soul in heaven. It had a very close relationship in heaven with its creator. So why did God take the neshama, the soul of the human being, and place him or her in this world, much further away from the Almighty than where that soul was when it was first created in the Garden of Eden, in Gan Eden, in heaven? The answer is that Hashem Yisbarach wants this soul, this human soul, to struggle, to search, and ultimately to find God from the distance. And that struggle, and that search, makes the soul so much greater, increases so much the depth and beauty of that soul. Very much like in human terms, we all know and we all praise those people who struggle through difficulties and achieve and overcome their difficulties. It's a much greater achievement. Not only greater achievement at an external level, that person who overcomes and withstands the difficulties of any situation and achieves, despite the difficulties and despite the barriers to success, overcomes and breaks through those barriers, has become a greater person. He or she has unleashed untapped and otherwise unknown energies. They're from Tzara Agra, Chazal say. Based on the difficulty of the challenge and the struggle comes that reward of the which at the ultimate success. Who are the great tzaddikim? The ones who had to struggle with difficulties. They're the greatest tzaddikim. This, of course, was much developed by the Tanya in his famous book. Tanya, the Rebbe of Lubavitch, explains that the Beinonim, the ones who have to struggle with the Yetzer Hara and overcome their evil side, and maybe many times tormented by their evil side that torments them with terrible thoughts and all kinds of impulses. But this Beinoni, this person who is in this in-between category, in which within his very soul he has to struggle with himself, between his bestial and his spiritual levels of soul. And this struggle may be for every day of his life, from day one, when he first becomes aware of himself, until 120, this struggle never ends. Such a person could be even considered greater than the tzaddik. The tzaddik mi beten, that person who never had to struggle, who was given a pure, unadulterated, only good soul, with no yetzer hara, with no evil. The Gemara says that b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, afilu tzaddikim gemurim einim yacholim lamod. That where the Baal Tshuva is, namely the one who struggles with evil and has to conquer that battle and has to continuously struggle, not just only with outside forces, but within himself against his evil side. This Baal Tshuva, this one who returns to Hashem, is greater than the Tzaddik Gomel, because he brings out various energies, hidden kochos ha-nefesh, certain energies within the soul which were locked in and only come to the surface because of that struggle. And we know that in everyday terms, that people who are in crisis unleash, maybe it's through their adrenaline or some other chemical, but they unleash energies that they didn't even know existed. People in times of grave stress can run for miles. People can lift things much, rip open doors and leap over ditches and things which they never would have done except because now their life is in danger. So they unleash untold energies to save themselves from God forbid death, let's say. The same thing is true on the spiritual plane. That when a person has to struggle against the evil outside, but even more than that, the evil within, this struggle itself and unleashes untapped energies and develops them so that the person becomes a greater tzaddik, a much more righteous person, man or woman, than they would have been otherwise. And this is really the challenge and the purpose of people being in this world. And this is exactly what happens in Chodesh Iyar. In Chodesh Iyar, after that amazing rendezvous and embrace of the beloved with the lover, of the Jewish nation bride with its chasan, its groom, the Almighty, which happened in Mitzrayim and the night of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a distancing And this is really in Shir HaShirim itself. We read in Shir HaShirim, in that great song which Shlomo HaMelech wrote of the beloved bride and the lover king of that embrace, but then a distancing where the beloved and the lover, the Melech and the Kala, God and Israel are separated and are searching for one another. And that search, that is the struggle which Jews and all people have, but particularly Jews, and particularly in the month of Iyar, this special month, which is the in-between month between Nisan and Sivan. This is the month of what he calls Hester v'Choshech, God being hidden, and blackness, darkness, after the Oros, the lights of Chodesh Nisan. And he quotes a pasuk, and the pasuk says in Micha Perek Zayin, Ki eishev b'choshech Hashem Oli. When I sit in darkness and blackness, God is my light. And that's exactly the purpose of the month of Iyar. In this estrangement, in this darkness, in this blackness, in this confusion, where there's no light, and there's no, and there seems to be blindness, we can find the light of Hashem. But this is really what we have to do. It has to be our effort. In Nisan, the Rabbonu Shlom came down to us. The Shechina came down into Mitzrayim. And the Shechina, God's presence, turned night into day, as we sing at the Haggadah, the Seder, that the night of Egypt, that blackness was turned into the day through the godly light which came into the land and redeemed us and embraced us and uplifted us. But in Chodesh Iyar, that Shechina has departed. That godly presence has gone. And we are left alone. And it is our mission, Levakesh, to search for the Almighty. And as it says in the Torah, Vikashtem Misham, Umatzosa, Kisidushenu b'cholavav chavuchol nafshecha. You can search for God from the most distance of all places. And you will find Him if you search b'cholavav chavuchol nafshecha with all your heart and soul. And that's what Chodesh Iyar is. It's the search for Hashem from a distance. Me'rachok, nearly. From a distance I have to find God. And He should be revealed to me. And this we do, Shem Shmuel explains, through the power of Torah and mitzvahs. The Torah is something which we can do, whether we are inspired or not. The books are there. The Torah of Moshe has been given to us. The Chazal, the Sfarim of our sages, and all the Jewish scholars of all generations are waiting for us to study them. The 613 mitzvahs are waiting for us to do them. Whether or not we're inspired, without inspiration, because we know this is the way we can find our path back to God. This is the way, v'kashtem misham u'motzosa, ki sidrushenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. If you search for God with all your heart and all your soul, and b'chol levavcha means with our emotions, and the mitzvos which we do, we put our emotions into these mitzvos, into our good deeds. V'chol nafshecha, with all our soul, which means with all our intellect and our faculties of studying and knowing and studying the Torah. During this month of Iyar, this is the month of putting ourselves, we'll soon see, to the yoke of Torah. And to do the mitzvahs of the Torah, the study of Torah, Talmud Torah, and Asiyas Mitzvahs of Torah, this will bring us back to the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And that's why the third month, Nisan Iyar Sivan, the third month is the Chodesh of Levi. And Levi means the connection. You love that. Pam, Yilava, Elai Ishi, Leah says, my husband will connect to me. And Levi means the connection. We rediscover our connection. But this is so much stronger now in the third month, because it's not just God coming to us as he did in Nisan. It's a result of our struggle in Iyar for us to come to him. And in Chodesh, that we do in Chodesh Iyar. And in Chodesh, Sivan is the ultimate connection. It's the month of giving of the Torah, of Har Sinai, of revelation. It's every level of the Jew connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, V'Yechida. And God connects to us on every level at the giving of Torah at Sinai. This is all a result of this struggle which we have to undergo and have to pursue during the month of Iyar. The struggle of Chodesh Iyar. The month of Golus. The month of the deaths of the students of Rebbe Akiva. This is one idea that the Shem Shmuel has. The Shem Shmuel has another two ideas to explain the significance of the month of Iyar in comparison to the month of Nisan, and how Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, this trilogy of the 3 months. And he explains that there's also symbolic representations of the 3 months in the Mazalos. These are the astrological representations of the constellations in the sky, and there were 12 of them. There were 12 Mazalos. The way the astrologers of the olden times looked at the stars and they saw. And in these 3 mazalos, and the 12 mazalos represent also the 12 months of the year. And the first 3, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, the science of astrology is an old science. It's something that the Gemara discusses, so we can use it. Don't think, though, God forbid, that the soothsayers and astrologers of the Gentiles are anything that we accept. We don't. We're not supposed to be involved with them. But in the Torah fashion, through the Kabbalah, there's a certain amount of astrology which is part of Torah. So if it comes up in Torah, it's fine. But if it's coming from the outside, it's definitely not fine. So don't go to your local astrologer after you hear this shiur. The Shem Shmuel explains that according to the signs of the Mazel, the signs of astrology, the Torah astrology, the first 3 months, Nisni, Iyar, Sivan, are Teleh, Shor, and Tumim. They're the sheep, is Nisan, and the ox is Iyar, and Tumim, twins, is Sivan. And if you look in the astrological constellations of the stars, you'll find these 3. Now, he explains as follows, that the symbol of the sheep, the sheep basically is a very pampered animal. Sheep is born, and the shepherd takes the sheep for pasturing. The sheep never does any work whatsoever. It's always fed and taken care of and watched and caressed and kept warm in the winter and kept cool in the summer and given enough water and food. And what does the sheep do? Gets bigger and produces wool, and the people cut off the wool, and the sheep lives a continuous pampered life without any difficulties, really. And it produces good things for its masters, the product of its wool, and sometimes milk, and sometimes meat. And this represents how God related to the Jewish people in Chodesh Nisan. In Chodesh Nisan, Hashem is Baruch, for Esa Eschem al Kanfei Nisham, God lifted us up on the wings of eagles and brought us to him. He took care of all our needs. He took us out of Egypt. And in the desert, he took care of our food and water and with clouds and kept us in excellent condition. Nisan was Hashem Yisbarach coming and sweeping us, so to speak, off our feet. It was a time in which Hashem pampered the Jewish people. It really represents Ahava, a time of God's love for us. The next month is Iyar. Iyar, our tradition says, is the mazel of Shor. It's represented by the axe, by the constellation axe. And what is an axe? An axe works, at least in ancient times, of course, works. The axe in ancient times was the main animal for plowing the fields before the invention of the tractor. The axe has the yoke, and this yoke it wears all the time. And with this yoke it pulls mighty burdens, and it steps on very hard ground and grinds it up into soft. An axe is a working animal. And basically, we can't even say, Shem Yishmael says, that the axe even enjoys its work. You know, sometimes people work and they enjoy it. But in other times, people are working without enjoying their work. And what is an axe? Very hard work in the hot sun. And back-breaking work for anything else besides the axe. So it's difficult. Does the axe enjoy the work? We don't know. Shem Yishmael says he probably thinks the axe does not seem to enjoy this work. You know, some animals, they do seem to enjoy, like a horse seems to enjoy many times the fact that someone's riding on the horse or it's pulling a certain wagon, it prances when it, or it trots, and gallops, neighs. It's very happy to do what work it does. The axe doesn't show any kind of satisfaction. He works and works and works. The same work to produce, but not for that feeling of satisfaction. So that's the idea of Chodesh Iyar. The Chodesh Iyar, it represents a time of hard work. And we may not even have the satisfaction of accomplishment, but we have to work. Because we know eventually we will achieve. And because this is our obligation to work, we have to study the Torah, even if we don't seem to be achieving. We have to do the mitzvahs, even if we don't seem to be achieving. We have to struggle with this, because this is our responsibility. For this we were born, for this we were created. And the enjoyment and pleasure of success will come later, maybe in the world to come, maybe in this world later, but in the month of Iyar, I have no time. I have no time to try to find the pleasures and try to find those rewards of my efforts. It's a hard time. It's a difficult time. It's a time of struggle, of back-breaking work, so that eventually we get to the goal of success. But we do not necessarily have to see the success in the Chodesh Iyar. And my dear friends, this idea of working like the shore, in the Ol of Torah, in the yoke of Torah, with or without that feeling, let's say without the feeling of pleasure and of good feelings that I get many times when I do something nice and good, but a feeling even of frustration, of lack of success, is such an important lesson. Such an important idea, which many of us, in fact, I would say all of us, need many times to know that we have a commitment. And this commitment is not rooted and not based upon our good feelings. We have a commitment We have to do it, whether or not it's pleasant. It might be very unpleasant, but I have to do it, because this is what my responsibility is. When a doctor has to give an injection to a child, the child is screaming. It's not pleasant, but the doctor has to do it. When the mother has to pull a splinter out of her baby's finger, it's unpleasant, the baby's screaming, but she has to do it. When I teach Torah to my children, it might not be so pleasant, but I have to do it. When I teach Torah to myself, it might not be so pleasant, and I have to do it. And many mitzvahs are not pleasant, and I have to do it. This is Chodesh Iyar. This is the Chodesh of a shor, of an ox who has that yoke, that oh, the yoke which he cannot escape from, which he has to respond to, and work and struggle and push and pull and plow and tread and stamp in the hard and harsh conditions of hot summers and cold winters, because he has to do it. There's no escaping that responsibility. And this is Chodesh Iyar. And this is, we said before, is a very great level, because the Fum Tzara Agra, as difficult as it is, it's a greater achievement. Much like the Olympic champion, the decathlon champion, the more the obstacles, the greater the champion. The Havdil, not to make that exact comparison, but just as a simile. And that struggle we have in life to do what's right, it's difficult many times. It's fruitless, it's thankless. But we have to do it. This is the championship. This is the championship contest. This is the decathlon of life. This is the Ola Torah, the yoke of Torah, and the Ol HaMitzvahs, and the yoke of Mitzvahs. And this is the month of Iyar, the month of the Shor. And then, after Iyar, we come to Sivan, Matan Torah. There, it's Ta'omin. It's twins. Why is it twins? Who are the twins? So he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash in the Pasuk in Shir Hashim says, Achas hi yonosi tamosi, my perfect one is my dove. It's God singing the praise of Israel. And the Medrash says, tamosi, my perfect one, is tuumasi, my twin. The Jews and God Almighty are compared to twins, to identical twins. After this amazing struggle of Chodesh Iyar, when we come through the challenges of this decathlon of life, to overcome the bitter and bitter obstacles, which are thankless and seemingly fruitless, at the end, we are twins. We have discovered amazing spiritual wells of goodness and holiness within us. This is what the Torah and mitzvahs bring out. In the times of difficulty. And so at the very end, we can even say, the Medrash can even make a statement which is, on the face of it, very bold and somewhat even frightening. And certainly very difficult to understand. But it's a statement of Medrash that Israel and God become twins. We become Atzelem Elokim. A godlike image is so godlike. It's so much the way God wants us to be, which is like Him. It is so good that someone can look at this tzaddik who's gone through the struggles of life and has developed his or her spiritual goodness and poured it all out and perfected it. When the going was difficult, say, this person is godlike. This person has the Tzelem Elokim, the image of the Almighty, the image of God. And it's a twin image. It's a twin. This is another way of looking at the 3 months. And then the Shemesh Shmuel quotes from his father, the Avni Nezer, a third way of looking at the 3 months, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. We have here the comparison of the sheep and the ox. Nisan is sheep, Tale. Iyar is ox, Shor. Says Avni Nezer, father of Shemesh Shmuel, first Achad Shava Rebbe, son-in-law of Kotzke Rebbe, that the sheep normally functions in a flock. Sheep grow up in flocks. The shor, the ox, is a loner. The bull is a loner. He doesn't go together with other bulls. He's a loner. And this means that when we serve Hashem and we relate to the Almighty, we relate in two ways. First, as part of a klal, part of the universality of Israel. The Knesset Yisrael, the community of Israel put together. This is Chodesh Nisan. This is the month of the Exodus from Egypt, in which the Jewish people became a nation. Shalach es Ami, v'yavduni, my nation, my people, and Ami, the Rabbi Soloveitchik. My Rebbe, the Rav, used to say that the word Ami and Am comes from the word Im, that we are together, we are one, united whole. Everyone is together. This is Nisan. And that's why Korban Pesach needs Chabura. Korban Pesach has to be eaten in a group, because we are fundamentally a group of people. Am Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, the community of Israel, the people of Israel. This is the nation of Israel, which Hashem is Baruch redeemed from Mitzrayim in Nisan. And Chodesh Iyar, we explained, is the month of the individual. It's the month of Talmud Torah, in which each person, in his own way, studies and learns Torah, and study of Torah is fundamentally a personal venture, not communal. The carbon sacrifice of Pesach is communal. The Seder is communal. But Talmud Torah is individual. I have to study. I have to put my own time. And it's my mind that grasps the Torah. And I grasp it in my way. Not the same way as you or anybody else. Every person sees it differently. K'shem Shepat Sofeim, Shonim Kachtei Oseim, Shonos Chazal say that the way people have different faces, they have different minds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite wisdom, created us as unique thinking people. Every one of us has his own way to think. Of course, there's a general framework of Torah. But within the Torah, everybody has their own individuality. It's fundamentally yochid, not the klal. It's yochid. It's the individual. So Chodesh Nisan, which is represented by the sheep, by the flock, is the Chodesh of the klal, of the group of Israel. And Chodesh Iyar, which is the Chodesh of Talmud Torah, this is the Chodesh of the Yachid, the individual. And finally, we come to the third month, Sivan, which is Tumim, twins. What is the twins? The twins, according to Avni Nezer, father of Shemesh Shmuel, is the Klal and the Pfat, the community and the individual, come together. And what's very interesting, he points out that in the second month of Iyar is a Pesach Sheni. The second Pesach, for those people who were Tomei and Bederech Rechoka, those people who were defiled and were far away and couldn't get to Shlaim in Nisan. And Nisan was Klal Yisrael's Pesach, was the Pesach of the Jewish people. And in Iyar was the Pesach of the Yachid, of each individual who couldn't, unfortunately, join the group. Makes his own Pesach, or her own Pesach, in Chodesh Sheni, in Iyar. And you come to Sivan, it's the two women, the twins, the Yachid and the Klal. The Yachid and the Klal come together to get the Torah. Because the Torah was given to the group of Israel, the community of Israel, but the Torah was also given to each individual person in Israel. So that's the trilogy of the 3 months. And Shemesh Shmuel also adds another idea. He says, according to the Ari HaKadosh, and this is the fourth idea, according to Ari HaKadosh, we begin with the sons of Jacob in the Degolim, in the way they were divided up in the camps of the Jews in the desert. So Nisan would be Yehuda, the son of Jacob, Yehuda. Ir would be Yisachar, and the third month would be Nisan Ir Sivan, the third month would be Zvulun. This is the Degel of Yehuda. Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. So he explains like this. Yehuda is the king of Israel. And the king of Israel is primarily Am Yisrael. He takes care of the group. And the king of Israel is the lev of Israel. He's the heart of Israel, Rambam says. He has the feelings of Israel. Then we come to the second month. Iyar is Yisachar. Yisachar traditionally is known as the Lomed HaTorah. He learns Torah. It's the Moach of Israel. It's the science of Israel. It's the intellect of Israel. So Nisan is the lev of Israel. The heart, the feelings, the love, the passion of Israel. That's the month of Nisan. It's a Chodesh HaLev. And Iyar is the Chodesh of Moach. It's a Chodesh of the Jewish mind. And when you come to the third month, which is Zvulun, Zvulun means Zvul is a combination of Moach with Lev. Hapam is, and it's the closeness, it's living in the house of Hashem. Yizbeleni, Ishi, my husband, she said, Leah said, will now live with me. God will live with us. If we have Moach for Lev, if our mind and our heart are truly dedicated to Him. There is no split Judaism. I'm intellectual, but my emotions are not Jewish. Or fakert, I have the emotions of a Jew, but my mind is different. I think like a Gentile. We have to have a full combination of Moach v'Lev. Yehuda with Yisachar. Yehuda with Yisachar. Yehuda the Lev. And Yisachar, the Moach. And then we get the Zvulun. The Zvulun is the Zbeis Zvul, the house of Hashem. The house of Hashem is based upon Moach v'Lev. So my dear friends, as we go through the month of Iyar, which we, every one of us knows it's a difficult month. It's a spiritually difficult month. Lacking is that inspiration and that beauty and that wonder and fantastic glory of the month of Nisan. It's a certain way dreary month, Iyar. It's a cold, it's a dark month. It's a month of avelos, a month of mourning our losses. Because unfortunately, we have fallen from the heights of Nisan into the gullus of Iyar. From the redemption into the exile. But this commitment, the commitment of the ox, this oh, this yoke, in the times of richuk, in the times of alienation, to stick with the Torah, to study the Torah, to do the mitzvahs, even if I have no inspiration, even if I feel it's difficult. This is the work which Hashem truly, truly appreciates, even more than that wonderful inspiration and love and passion of Nisan. This is the month which is the transition and brings us to Har Sinai and brings us to getting the Torah in Sivan. When we have the Zvulun, the base Zvul, we are connected. We become twins with Abba. We are twins with our Father in heaven because of the efforts of the month of Iyar. Let us hope and pray that every single one of us will take this inspiring message of Shema Shmuel, of the Hasidus masters, the Hasidic masters, who told us to serve God as sheep and as an ox, as a group and as an individual, in times of inspiration and in times of struggle. And together we will be zochem, be meritorious, for the Torah, the giving of the Torah at Sivan, of again coming together with God Almighty in His very house, in His very temple, in Har Sinai, in Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, v'mehav yameinu, Amen.